There's a few teenagers and different people in the church this morning. Teenagers and children. And you are stuck at the moment at school, aren't you? It's like, do we have to go to school next week? It's meant to be Easter. There's meant to be holidays. But actually, you're stuck. You've got 2 more weeks of school left, guys. But that's not the worst of it. The worst is that for most of you, you've got at least a year. And some of you have got 11 and a half years stretching out before you. For those of us who are not in school and not in high school, we think back to that time where we were. And I remember the last day of high school for me at Scarborough High. And I remember driving to school in my beat up 73 Toyota Corolla. And that sense of elation that finally my schooling was done. It was finished. And maybe in the months to follow, the deep realization that although school had finished, life as an adult had only just begun. And there was university to attend, and there was university to drop out of. For some of you, there was a trade to go into. For some of you, you've gone into your father's business. But for all of us, life stretches out in front of us. And the words that Jesus spoke on that cross, those very last words, actually seem strangely ironic. Before he got to those words and before that happened, he had to go through an awful lot. An awful lot of pain and an awful lot of suffering. And I wonder if you've ever thought about what impact that has on your life. You know, the next few moments could actually be quite transformational for you. Maybe you've never actually considered what Jesus' life meant for you. The next few moments could actually change that. You could actually feel like I did when I was about 19, this sense in my spirit, that almost unidentifiable part of my being where God was speaking to me. And it was quite undeniable. You may feel that. You may sense the tug, the word, a warmness, a desire to discover who God is for you. That may happen in the next few minutes. Jesus went to the cross, and the story is a brutal story. Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside and said to the people, "I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." You see, in this context with children and others, we may not want to go into the gruesome nature of the physical torture that Jesus experienced. It's rated for adults only. But I think it's also something that probably, I doubt there's anyone here that can actually relate to it. So horrific was it. But perhaps some of us can relate to some of the emotional and the spiritual turmoil that Jesus went through. He came to heal the sick. He came to give the sight to the blind. He came to put a hand on the shoulder of someone that was crying. He came to tell someone caught in their own lifestyle that it's okay. You can be forgiven. It's okay. I accept you. He came to point people to heaven. And yet in this moment, they mocked him. They said, "King of the Jews? Yeah. Let's put a crown of thorns on him. Let's get an old purple robe symbolizing royalty and let's stick that on him. And let's make him a joke." Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, take him yourself and crucify him." Pilate said, "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our law he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." That's not actually what their law actually said. In fact, their law actually said, don't put to death someone who calls themselves Messiah, just in case they are the Messiah. So they actually twisted even their own laws in order to justify their hatred and their jealousy for Jesus, because he came giving teaching which was so far superior to them. And the people laughed at their teachers because they saw the ludicrous nature of what they were saying compared to the wisdom and the gold that Jesus was bringing. And they were so jealous. They went against even their own principles. When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back to the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave no answer. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize I have power to release you or crucify you?" Jesus is about to say something which I wish we had an emoji for this, what he's about to say, because the tone of how he says this is so important. Because imagine the scene. He's there with no power. He's been tortured and he's about to be led away to be crucified. Thousands of people are baying for his blood. It seems to me he has no power and no authority. And Pilate points that out. And then Jesus says to him something quite extraordinary. "You have no power. You have no power over me at all, unless it was given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar." Now, Pilate's reaction is going to be really important here. It's going to tell us a lot about Jesus and his tone and what he was trying to actually say and how he said it. Did he say it with a sense of arrogance? Did he say it with a sense of falseness and a sense of false bravado? Was it actually true? It appeared to us looking on that he had no power, no authority. And Pilate looking, listen carefully, with human eyes and with just a natural perception, not being able to see the greater truth, Pilate sees what he sees. And for us, for you, let's be honest. There are times when we just see the human. There are times when we don't look deeper, when we don't actually see what the greater story is. There are times in your life where you have really struggled. For some of you, you have been in really dark places. And this is not a judgment. Please don't hear me judging. Because when you're in those places, it can be really, really difficult to see any sense of hope. And you can actually feel incredibly powerless, just as Jesus may have felt in this moment, but didn't. Because he could see the greater truth. Okay, I'm here in this old rag and this crown of thorns which is piercing into my skull. The people that I sought to love and point to the truth have rejected me. So painful. And yet, he has this, I'm going to put two strange words together, this holy audacity. This holy audacity to say to Pilate, "You've got no power over me. None." When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the Stove Payment in Hebrew. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for Passover, and Pilate said to the people, "Look, here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him, crucify him." The story goes on. "What? Crucify your king? "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priest shouted. Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. The disciples that had stood there and said, "Jesus, we will be with you forever. We're going to stand up no matter what happens. We're going to stay with you. We're your best friends." He went to the cross by himself. There are times in your life where you have felt so alone. You may have even been in a group of people and you're like, "I don't belong." Is there anything worse than not belonging? Is there anything worse than having to face an incredible trial by yourself? There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so many people could read it. The leading priest objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from 'the King of the Jews' to 'He said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "No, I've written what I've written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothing. They took the robe, woven in one piece from top to bottom. They said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves, threw dice for my clothing." So that's what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." From then on, his disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now fulfilled. To fulfill scripture, he said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there. They took, soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, held it up to his lips. Jesus had tasted and he said the words, "It is finished." Now we look at those words and maybe you even look at those words and you think, "It's not finished for me. 12 years of schooling stretches ahead." But let's not make light of whatever it is that you're dealing with. And let's not pretend that your world is perfect. And let's not pretend for one moment that you have it all together. And let's not pretend for one moment that you don't look into the deep, dark places of your soul that no one else sees and wish that it wasn't as dark as what it is sometimes. Because there is no perfect person in this place. All of us have messed up and fallen short of God's glory. And yet those words that Jesus said are absolutely true. It is finished. He did save the world and he did make things right in that moment, not only for the people that were there, but for the whole of the world and particularly for you this morning. He made things right. They couldn't see it at the time. And maybe right now you can't see that either. But it is finished. Maybe you've never actually decided to follow Jesus. And maybe the Spirit of God, you feel him actually saying, "You know what? I need to follow. I need to discover. I need to follow. I need to say yes. It's actually true. And I want Jesus to be true in my life." In a moment, I'm going to invite us, whoever desires, to come forward and to actually take a piece of bread. Just tear a piece off for yourself. And to take a cup. And you can come forward, you can eat it out the front, or you can take it back to your seat. But more than just the mechanics of remembering the body and the blood of Christ, I want you to come forward this morning. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, but also today on Good Friday, if you're going through some really dark times, to say, you know what, Jesus, you did do it. I'm thankful. It is finished. Jesus offers a life where we are connected to God, where we know the purpose for our lives. It's a life that goes beyond just what we see, but it's a life that stretches out for eternity. So while the music is playing, I invite us all to come, to take the bread, to take the cup, to, in a spirit of gratefulness, say yes to Jesus for the first time or for the 77th time, and thank him this morning for what he has done. Come forward and take the bread, take the wine.